For human being, before Eve, to tempt of her parents. And I hesitate saying it, but I think I should. How the devil uses the attractiveness of women. I've been a priest for too many years, and not only or even mainly, Harriet. Sexual seduction, the most effective agents of the communists for 70 years are women. Do you hear me? And we do not begin to understand feminism unless we understand the evil spirit, which the Holy Fathers, several now, including the present one, the greatest single threat to the Catholic Church in one country after another is feminism. But flesh means concupiscence, our fallen human nature. Except for certain, only the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, only when she was conceived, the only human person, Christ was not a human person, he was a divine person with a human nature. The only human person that our faith tells us infallibly was conceived without concupiscence, without this urge inside of us to sin. That urge, I repeat, is not a sin, but we are all urged to sin. And the two synonyms for that urge to sin are concupiscence, speaking theologically, and the flesh, speaking biblically. But, once more, we would not have concupiscence unless the human race have been successfully tempted by the devil. And finally, the devil himself. In other words, when we repeat with St. John, you know, the three principal sources of temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Both the world and the flesh are already agents of the evil spirit. From the dawn of human history. But the devil continues here and now. He is active in tempting people, and that is what the Church means by giving us three sources of temptation. In other words, the devil tempts us right now, today, and tomorrow, and the day after. And we're going to analyze the demonic temptations. All we're doing in this first lecture is giving an overview of how the devil is active in the world. The power of the devil, unless I'm mistaken, Mass is scheduled for 5. Am I correct? I think so. Suppose I do this. Suppose I say we'll be continued in our next class for this, and I'll try to answer some of your questions. Can a person be possessed by the devil and not know it? I would say yes. Could be possessed by the devil and not know it. However, not knowing it, it depends what you mean by the it. Not knowing that it's a possession, but knowing that that person is somehow under a powerful influence which is beyond and outside of his own, say, free will. Can a person be exorcised from the devil without willing it? For example, Dr. Kevorkian? No. No. In other words, where the person is, you know, I'm speaking of possession, and I could say, well, how much I could say about Dr. Kevorkian. Not the place for it, though. In other words, there's a possession which is self-induced. I would so describe Dr. Kevorkian. Give us your opinion of Winspeft House, authored by Father Malachy Martin. I am not happy with Malachy Martin's book. And that for two reasons. I know Malachy Martin well. We know each other. Engaged in conversation. We know each other. First of all, as you know, he left the Society of Jesus. And he shouldn't have. Secondly, the book itself, Winspeft House, it is advertised as a novel, but implicitly he is saying that what he is describing is going on, especially at the Vatican, is basically true. I don't just think. I know Malachy Martin is wrong. That is why when he was in Detroit advertising Winspeft House, I called him up in New York and he promised he'd meet while he was in Detroit. A bugger. He begged off. And I know why. In other words, without, I hope he's realizing it, Winspeft House is devastating to the reputation of the Holy See. 29 years in working for the Vatican, I have no illusions on how human the Vatican is. But I would not agree, I cannot agree with the conclusions that somebody reading Winspeft House would have about the Holy See. What do you think of the future of the papacy? Is the present pope one of the last ones? Oh, no. Centuries, even millennia to go. I think that within the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the papacy will not be needed anywhere. Well, first of all, I don't blame people for writing questions like this, because you're living in difficult times. But the end of the world is not coming soon. And don't for a moment let anybody tell you that somehow the year 2000 is the dawn of the end of the world. I could shout, no! There's too much work to be done. And that is why I said what I did before. The secret of growing in sanctity is loving the cross. You'll get discouraged, or worse still, be tempted to even despair. What's going on? It's just tremendous to be alive today. Is the church militant? Did you know that? There's a war going on. And we're all conscripted. What do you think about Judas, one of the 12? Is he in heaven, in hell or in purgatory? He is in hell. That's one reason I think I should say this. Why? When Ignatius Press sent me a copy of the not yet published manuscript of Urs von Balthasar. Remember? He wrote a book on hell. Would I please recommend the book? I called up Father Fascio. Well, I said, no. Because that book by Urs von Balthasar leaves doubts of whether there's anybody yet in hell. So I tell people, how long will the world have to exist to make anybody deserve hell by now? Somebody must be in hell by now. Am I making sense? Why was there a Judas? Well, the reason which the church gives is to prepare the faithful for apostate bishops. I'm not recommending the book, but one book that is an eye-opener is called The Wives of Henry VIII. He had 6 wives. First one, you know what he did to that one. Catherine of Aragon, got rid of her. He asked the Pope to give him a declaration of nullity. So the Pope said, Henry, I can't do it. What did Henry do? He called the bishops. Remembers the name of the one bishop who told Henry, sorry, you cannot get an annulment. Remembers?
John Fisher.
John Fisher. And he was bishop of what diocese in England?
Rochester.
What diocese?
Rochester.
Rochester. Anybody here from Rochester? Or East Rochester? You read the life of Henry VIII and you see how important it is for bishops to remain faithful to Jesus Christ and his vicar on earth. No heresy has ever succeeded in history unless and until it was backed by a bishop. Pray, pray, pray for bishops. Is there any theological explanation for the, I guess, equity involved in giving the devil so much time to empower humanity? Yes. The explanation is that we must pay a higher price for reaching heaven than most of us realize. Moreover, in coping with temptation, as we've said before, and now in answering the question, all temptations of the devil begin in the mind. the need. And I've said this to some audiences, and they protest. We are living in an over-educated United States. We should be only as educated as we can cope with the knowledge that we gain. Am I clear? And that's why God allows us to be tempted by the devil, to teach us the need we have to understand our faith. That's why I'm deeply grateful for your being here. And by the way, don't hesitate to bring your friends. Question. How could God, quotes, ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac when the commandment is, thou shalt not murder? Oh, gosh, thanks for the question. Does God need anybody's permission to take a human life? Does he need our permission? And by the way, that is why we often speak of Christ's crucifixion as attempted deicide. The human will, if it were possible, would kill God, because God tells human beings to submit their wills to His. So, God created Abraham, created Isaac. Could God tell? But of course, Abraham better be sure it's God telling him. The commandment shall not kill is for whom? For us. One visionary used this living example to show God allows variations to His law, including the variation to allow the visionary to leave his first wife and three children and remarry a younger woman. I think the visionary is a little pebble. In any case, over the years, I have interviewed and often under the church's orders, visionaries. They're visionaries or agents of the devil. What does the Holy Father and the Church teach regarding the charismatic renewal? Is it a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit within the Catholic Church, or another manifestation of pontification? Thanks. And the spelling is perfect. Of the Catholic Church. Well, I could talk here for hours. Those who are already in the charismatic movement, I have never, as a priest, told them to drop out. It is very risky. However, and this goes back, gosh, over 30 years, I was invited by then Cardinal of New York to speak to his priest on the charismatic movement. And the lecture that I gave 30 years ago, I've never had to change. The charismatic movement is a partisan movement. There are Catholics involved in the movement. God bless them. And it is possible, of course, for a Catholic to be very sincere. But the charismatic movement is of partisan origins, historically and theologically. You'd have to shout very loud and know that you are causing me so much delight in your exposure of the devil. I better be careful what I'm reading. You never know what's going to come next. How or what should I pray this evening to overcome temptation or even worse? Will you give us a special blessing for we leave? Well, first of all, don't go to bed tonight without reciting the prayer to St. Michael. If you're not saying it yet, say it. Know it by heart. By the way, over the years, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, prayer to St. Michael. Over 30 churches were closed, leveled, and sold by Cardinal Shulka in the Archdiocese of Detroit to the devil is mentioned, I cannot read it. Would you talk, please, a little more about closing churches in the Archdiocese of Chicago, as well as in Boston, and other Roman Catholic infrastructures. I believe the single main reason for the breakdown of so many parishes, including the closing of churches, is the widespread weakening and loss of faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. In other words, a Catholic Church is either where Christ Himself is present in the Blessed Sacrament, or it is not a Catholic Church. And where people's faith in the Holy Eucharist as real presence weakens and wanes, the faith and the churches follow suit. And I'm quoting the present Holy Father. Unless you American Catholics, where it's been lost, recover. Where it's been weakened, strengthen your faith in the real presence, or I fear for the survival of more than one diocese in your country. Unquote. Not in print. Pope John Paul II. Our pastor said that Christ is present in all the sacraments. Explain. And God became man. May I ask, was God present on earth before He was conceived in the womb of Mary? Was God on earth? What occurred when Mary conceived Jesus in her womb? God began to be present on earth as man. Of course, Christ is God and the God-man. Of course, the graces. And memorize these three prepositions. They are crucial to our faith. All the grace comes from Christ as God, through Christ as man, to us, human beings on earth. So surely, Christ as God is giving His grace to the whole human race. But you don't use the word Christ is present as the God-man except where what happened in Mary's womb is now on earth in the fullness of identity. The same Jesus that Mary gave birth to in Bethlehem is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. But the graces that Christ confers on the whole world, of course, those graces are being communicated everywhere. But don't you dare say that because Christ's grace is being given to the whole human race, that Christ, as the God-man, in His living flesh and blood, is present everywhere. That, by the way, is a direct quotation from Martin Luther, once he lost his faith. And it is after 5. We could continue. Thanks for being here. I will now be offering Mass at, well, it's somewhat after 5. Upstairs. Is it upstairs? Well, next door in the chapel of the what used to be the convent. And then our next class, unless I'm mistaken, is 2 weeks. Am I correct? 2 weeks from today. And I will ask all of you to remember Mother Teresa and her soul in her prayers, but also especially remember the missionaries of charity in her prayers, because this is a great blow to the missionaries of charity. Am I clear? Because she was not just the founder of a religious community, but it inspired millions. So pray for the missionaries of charity. And during the funeral that I will concelebrate the Cardinal, I remember all of you during that Mass. Shall we close with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.